whom Jesus loved. We come to chapter 6. Remember that chapter 6 opened with the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. He fed more than 5,000 people in one day. It is the greatest miracle, therefore, recorded by all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No other miracle is recorded by all four. Now, after Jesus performed this miracle, he wanted to get some time of rest. He wanted to get aside with his disciples and rest a while. But the people kept pursuing him and following him. And they finally found him. And in John 6, 26, Jesus tells them why they're following. Notice what it says in John 6, 26. I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. I don't know if we realize that this was a time of life where you would work all day long to just provide one meal for yourself. It would take a long time. It's not like that today. I mean, you can go out today and you can eat a meal three times a day if you want, and almost anywhere. But this was a different culture. People worked all day long, had to fish all day long or bake all day long. And here Jesus made a meal immediately. And so Jesus is basically saying, you're following me because you want free food. Who doesn't want free food? And yet, that's not the real reason to follow Jesus. That's a superficial reason. That's not a sincere reason. And so in the same chapter, then, Jesus begins to explain to them what we've already seen. Verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. This is the first of the seven I ams in this gospel. And when Jesus says, I am, we need a little bit of understanding of what he means. And so here's a little bit of knowledge of what we're talking about here. It is the Hebrew word Yahweh. And it's four Hebrew letters, consonants, no vowels. It's called the Tetragrammaton. The Tetragrammaton means it's a translation of every word, every letter, rather, into English. And in our English Bible, if you ever read the word Lord, and it's a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is this Hebrew word, Yahweh. It was such a special Hebrew word that it wasn't spoken by the Jewish people. And when the scribes and translators came to it in copying the text, they would put down their writing instrument, go take a bath, put on all new clothes, and pick up a new writing instrument to write those four letters, Yahweh. It was a very special, sacred, and holy name of God. What it means is that God has always been. As one person said, when Jesus says, Yahweh, I am, it means I am, not I was. He's always been. He's saying, I am God. I have been, I am with God, and I am God in the flesh. So notice in our text, in verse 41, here Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And he is speaking in a synagogue in Capernaum. This is in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And some of us have been here and we've seen these ruins of the Capernaum synagogue. It's still present today. And this is the actual synagogue that Jesus preached in on this day. And notice in verse 41, it says the Jews complained about him. Now, for our visitors today, to help you understand what John means when he says Jews, we've been studying the Gospel of John, and we know that the word Jews here is not referring to every Jewish person on the planet. When John uses the word Jews here, he's referring to the leaders of the Jews, the Sadducees, Pharisees, the scribes, the keepers of the gate, so to speak, the people who are making sure that everybody is following the law of God. And so he's talking about these people who are hounding him, really, and eventually are going to want him killed. But notice it says in verse 41 that as they're listening to him, they're complaining. Well, this, unfortunately, is a very common scene today. Every week we hear about this. Someone is speaking publicly. It doesn't matter who it is, but they're speaking publicly, and the crowd doesn't agree with what they're hearing. And they don't understand what they're hearing. And so they start murmuring and making noise, and all this is going on. Low tones are being heard as Jesus is speaking here in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, in this section of Scripture, Let me just let you know right ahead of time that this is a section of Scripture lots of people stay away from. There's some verses we're going to look at that are difficult for people to understand. And some people have looked at these verses and have come up with some really crazy interpretations. And other people are just trying to stay away from it because they don't want to look at it. So we're going to try to look at it this morning and understand really what Jesus is saying. So as Jesus lays out this message in this synagogue on this particular Sabbath day, he does three things. And if you like to take notes, it'll be real easy. 3 points this morning. He tells us God's plan, number one. He then tells us his role, Jesus' role in God's plan. And then number three, he tells us our responsibility. So the responsibility of the hearers in the synagogue on that day and our responsibility today. So let's unpackage this. Let's look first of all at God's plan. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 41. He says the first thing is I came down from heaven. And then in verse 42, he repeats it. He says, I've come down from heaven. In verse 44, he quotes a prophet. Or excuse me, verse 44, 45 is the prophet. 44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And there'll be a resurrection. I will raise him on the last day. Then verse 45, he quotes the prophet. He says, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So people come because of what they've heard and learned. It's interesting. And then in verse 46, he says that God is a spirit and that no one has seen the Father, but that he is the image of the Father. And then verse 57, he tells them again that as the Father sent him, he's come with a purpose. I live because of the Father, and so he who feeds on me will live also because of me. And then finally, verse 58, he says, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna, we'll talk about that, and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. And so in this simple section of verses, Jesus is telling us God's plan, that God has started everything. The reason that we can come to God is because he is the initiator of the relationship, and that God lives in heaven, that's his dwelling place, from which salvation is planned. And the second person of the triune Godhead will leave heaven and come to this earth. A lot of people don't understand this. The womb of Mary is not where Christ had his beginning. The passage that was read earlier, as Pat led us through it from Philippians chapter 2, Jesus came from heaven. That's where he came from. Some people say, well, he was an alien. He came from a different place. Well, in a sense, you could say that. He was in the presence of God in heaven as a spirit. He took upon a body then and was born of Mary. And he came eternally. He's always existed before time. It's interesting. Where was Jesus born? Quick test. Bethlehem. Bethlehem is called the house of bread. And in this section, he refers to himself as the bread of life. Very interesting analogy. So Jesus basically tells us that salvation comes because God has a plan. God has put this all together, and Christ has come for the purpose of bringing salvation to man. The prophet Isaiah, this is interesting. This is the quote of Jesus here. If you have a good study Bible, you probably have that in your notes in verse 45. Here's the full verse. All your children shall be taught by the Lord. Notice a different name for the Lord there. Do you see that all? That's Adonai. That's not Yahweh. It's referring to the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, is Adonai, who comes to represent Yahweh. And great shall be the peace of your children. So here, the Messiah is the one who's going to teach. There are many people today, you've all, hopefully all of you have believed. But why did you believe? You believed because you heard something and the Spirit of God worked in your heart to believe. There are many people today who could believe if they would only hear something. How shall they hear, Paul says, without a preacher? And faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's a lot of people who are not believing today simply because they don't hear, they don't know. We need to tell them. And here, the Messiah will be the one who will teach the children, and then they will believe. And so Jesus goes on to talk about the Father, that he is a spirit, and you know, you can't sit down and have dinner with a spirit. The spirit has not flesh and bones, but he comes in flesh and bones to communicate who God is. And so he is the creator. You know, often people define religion as us trying to seek God. And for us to try to seek God, we can't get there because he is eternal and we are temporal. He is holy and we are sinners. But in Christianity, God comes to us. And that's the essence of what Jesus is saying. So now he's going to work on to his role. What is Jesus' role? So notice a couple of verses here. Verse 41, he emphasizes that he is the bread. Verse 44, he talks about that there will be a resurrection of those people. Verse 46, Jesus has seen the Father. He has a unique relationship with the Father because he's God. Verse 48, he says he's the bread of life. Verse 50, he comes from heaven as the bread of life. He is the living bread, which, notice in verse 52, gives his flesh, which is his death. He gives the world. He comes for the world. John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave. And he gives eternal life and resurrection life. So here Jesus introduces the metaphor of bread. What bread is to our physical bodies, a basic staple of life. We need it to survive. So Jesus will be to our spiritual lives. Without him, we cannot survive. He refers to the wilderness wanderings and the manna that came. The manna gave them physical sustenance. Without it, they would die. And Jesus is going to provide life, and not just physical, but eternal life. To those who believe, they will be a part of a resurrection, he says. Everyone knows that death will come. We're not looking forward to it, but we know it will come. But as Christians, we know it's not the end because Jesus promises a resurrection. Resurrection hope is big. Without it, there's despair. And so Jesus and the Father possess this very, very special intimate relationship, he says right here. He says, I know the Father. We are close to each other. And Jesus is coming not to do his own will, but to do the will of the Father. Now, did you notice how many times Jesus repeated himself in this section? How many things he said more than once? Well, I agree with one commentator who said the reason he was doing this is because he was speaking in the synagogue and he didn't have a PowerPoint. How could the people remember? And so he had to repeat things over and over. And repetition is important because it helps us remember things. So Jesus comes from heaven. So I want to look at some verses with you, some extra verses. You can put these in your notes. Some of these are familiar verses. But Jesus came from heaven to give his life for us. That's why he came. So Galatians 1:4. I want you to look at that. Turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians 4. It's not up on the wall. Notice what it says. It's a very important verse. It says that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us, notice this, from this present evil age. You see, folks, Christ didn't come to save your soul simply so you could go to heaven one day and ignore his presence in your life here. He came to deliver you and me from the evil that is around us. Is there evil around us? There's tons of evil around us. We don't have to go looking for it. It finds us. But knowing Christ can deliver us from that evil. Here's the point. We who follow him need to be different than the people who don't know him. It's not just eternal salvation, our soul's security forever. It's how we live right now, to deliver us from this present evil age. Look at Galatians 2:20. Some of you know that. You could even quote it with me. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He loved me and gave himself for me. The presence of Christ in our lives. He lives in us. We are Christians. Someone has defined that as Christ's ones or little Christs. We are the representatives of Jesus here. How could he trust us to do that? With his power and spirit that are within us. As we yield to him, we will live that life. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering. Notice, Christ gave himself. Ephesians 5:25, all the husbands in the room know this verse. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Once again, he gives his life. Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:6, he gave himself a ransom. Why was a ransom needed? Because we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We needed to be set free. A ransom had to be paid. Christ paid that to free us. So that we would live in it? No. We shouldn't live in those things anymore. We're now set free from them. Amen? Amen. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, and here's another verse just like Galatians 1:4, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and notice this, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Hey, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to be different than the people around you. You need to be different because of what God has done in your life. You need to live a life that shows forth his work and his grace. So here we have Jesus' role. Now let's come to our responsibility. And here's where we get into some difficult verses, all right? So here we have our responsibility. Primarily in verse 44, it's come to Jesus. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up. So we need to come to Jesus. Verse 45, we need to be instructed. Verse 47, we need to believe in him. Verse 50 talks about eating and not dying. Verse 51, to consume him, to eat and to drink. Verse 55, it's repeated and raised up. Verse 56 is to do so, is to abide in him. Verse 57, the result will be to live. And then verse 58 is repeated. So we have to come to Jesus. Let's go back to verse 44. It says, no one could come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The hymn writer put it this way, and some of us are familiar with this hymn, just as I am, just as I am, just the way I am, without one plea. In other words, we don't come to God with excuses. Oh, Jesus, I'd like you to forgive me of my sin, but I don't want to let go of it. I'd like you to change my life, but I want to stay with my old friends. I don't come with any defense, no plea. Just as I am, and I'm not going to wait any longer. Here I come. I'm not going to say, okay, Lord, I'll come to you next week, or I'll come to you after the party, or I'll come to you after the event, whatever. It's right now I'm going to come. And here I come, and even as I'm coming, I'm tossed about with conflicts and doubts, fighting fears within and without. I've got a lot of stuff going on. And you know what Jesus is saying here is that sometimes we think that we're coming to Jesus, but it's God bringing us to himself. You can't come, he says in verse 44, unless the Father draws you. And you know why he draws us? Because he loves us. He loves you. He doesn't want you wandering in darkness. He wants to bring you to light. And when I come to Jesus, it means I come as I am. I'm broken. It means I come, I'm lost. It means I realize there's nothing I can do to fix my own life. I can't clean up my act and then say, Lord, here I am. I come just as I am to Jesus. And I come willing to be taught. This is what Jesus says here. I come with an understanding that you are going to teach me. Now, I want you to focus on verse 47 right now. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. This is a powerful metaphor that Jesus is using. He's just fed over thousands of people with bread. And now he's going to talk about something that everybody knows about, bread. Every hungry person wants bread. Now, just imagine for a moment that you receive bread. Okay, you've got bread. And you take this bread, and you don't want to lose it, so you're going to carry it around. It's pretty important to you. And so you want to put it in a safe place at home. And maybe you want to put it in a prominent place at home so you can see it a lot, because bread's pretty important. So you put it in a safe place, a prominent place, and all day long you look at the bread and your stomach growls. And the next day, you wake up and you're hungry again, but the bread's right there, and you just look at it. Boy, it's really great to see that bread. And maybe every once in a while, you decide to take that bread for a walk. And you're going to walk around, and you're going to see lots of people who are hungry. And they're starving. And you show them, I got this bread. Isn't this bread great? And they look at it, and they're like, what in the world are you doing? Why aren't you eating it? What's wrong with you? You need to eat that bread. Notice what Jesus says. And here's the difficult text. Follow with me, beginning in verse 53. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. All of the people, the Jews, the scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, Levites, all these guys who are listening to Jesus on the Sabbath know the Bible. They know the Bible better than a lot of people do today. Put these texts in your notes. We won't turn to them. They know Leviticus 17. Please write this down. They know Deuteronomy 15 and Deuteronomy 17. They know that God prohibits eating flesh and drinking blood. They know that. That's why they have a problem with what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is speaking so radically to shake their world. Here's simply what it means. Augustine had it right. For to believe on him is to eat the living bread. Jesus uses this illustration because his flesh is his death. He is going to die. And when he says, unless you receive of that, he means unless you believe this. John was also directed by the Holy Spirit to record after this great gospel three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I want to take you to some verses in 1st John and look at them, and I want you to see if you see a common thread. Here's some verses. 1 John 3:24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Do you see the common thread? It's to abide. You see, to believe in Jesus is to continue to follow him. Through the years that I've been here, I meet people out in town. Some of these people who even used to come to church, not ours, but other churches, sometimes ours. And I talk to these people and I say, so how are you doing? And we get to the point of getting down to the real serious things. And I say, how are you doing in relationship to God? I guess I'm a pastor, I can get away with asking those kinds of questions. And this is what generally they say to me. Well, I still pray. And I say, well, what about reading? What about being in a place where you're hearing the Word of God taught or sitting under the preaching and authority of the Word of God? I still pray. And I think to myself, if God could audibly speak to them, he would say, you're doing a lot of talking, but you're not doing any listening. We need to abide, and the only way to abide is to continue. It's not faith in Jesus as an eternal life insurance policy for my soul, and I'll cash it in when I die, and I can live however I want here and now. That's not what it is. Faith in Jesus is to receive of his death on my behalf So I follow him. I abide with him. To abide is to remain, to continue. It's to not leave. It's to show the perseverance of the saints is what it's called historically. It's that I know him now and I will walk with him forever. And so Jesus makes it very, very clear that his flesh and his blood are speaking of his death. And it is through his death on the cross that our sins are paid for. Our soul salvation has obtained an eternal atonement because of Christ's death. And so if you have come to Christ, that's wonderful. Abide in him. Continue with him. Enjoy the life he is giving to you. Just as bread supplies the nutrients that we need for our physical life, abiding in Christ provides the spiritual food we need. We can come to Jesus. We can come to Jesus, and as we come, we believe in him. And the only way this all happens is, as he said in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. God's Spirit might even be bringing, wooing some of you right now. You have yet to believe. You're hearing some things. You're learning some things. There's some things you know now, and you've got a foundation upon which now you can have faith. And the reason for that is because God loves you, and he's trying to draw you to himself in a relationship. And if you've come, you've come because he's drawn you. Glory in that. You know, sometimes we think, well, I believed in Jesus. I signed the card. I walked an aisle. I did this. I did that. No, it was God who did it all. And he drew us to himself. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And God, by his Spirit, because he loves us, brought us to himself. Brought us to himself to cleanse and forgive us and make us whole and make us his children. So that we could continue to follow him, to continue to live on the nutrient of the bread of life. Let's pray. Our Father, how grateful we are that you had a plan and that you put that plan into motion with Jesus coming. And Jesus yielded himself fully and completely to your plan. And now we have a responsibility. When the Spirit moves us, we respond in faith. And I thank you for all today who, hearing of your word, have responded to your Spirit and have come to faith. And there are more, Lord, who would come if they would only understand who you are and who they are and what they need to do. And so I pray that you will continue to guide us by your Spirit as we enjoy the nutrient of life that is in Christ as the bread of life. And as we share that bread with the hungry souls around us, keep our focus upon following Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.